Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 to 31. This is relatively quick and fast. I want to just kind of start out here with the very first one here about up here is the Hebrew. It's all written in Hebrew up here, which is not quite exactly what you see written here in English. And the reason they write that in English because they really can't or don't really understand or have a hard time picturing what this is really saying to us. We have Vayomer Elohim. That's Hebrew up there. Vayomer. And he said, Elohim. He. The he is a word meaning, doesn't mean to lutz. It means to be. Or close to come. Or to become. And so in Hebrew, basically it's saying, okay, and said Elohim, let or come, basically means to come, order, and come order. That's what it basically says in Hebrew. He said, come, order, and come order, and or came. Light came. Now, do not get this confused with what we think sunlight, moonlight, traffic light, or a bulb light. Has nothing to do with that word. And I saw you there. This is real brief here about this one. And it says, his face shines upon thee and be gracious to you. And this, we're very familiar with this one. In Numbers, 6th chapter, verse 25. It's Aaronic blessings. And it says, his order upon you. And the word really is not like a light as we see light, but the word is shine. So in a sense, he says here, and God said, come shine, and came shine. It was shining. A light came. And so we look at this a little bit closer in Isaiah 60, verse 4 to 1 to 4, he's talking about Israel. So arise, shine. For thy light, or arise, shine, for thy shine is come, and the glory of Yahuwah is raised upon thee. Okay, so again, this kind of picture of the word shine. Now, we'll move down just a little bit here, because I want to show you something. Not a very big, a bit fancy thing, but go to the book of Revelations. Same basic thing in Greek, by the way. It's not really that much off in the Greek. Now, when we use the word shine, or we use the word light, you know, and he says, you are the light of the world. It really means you are the shining one. You are the one who's to shine forth something. And Messiah Yeshua said that when one comes to the light, to see it, make sure his ways are correct. You come to that which shines to see if we're, if basically, is Yahuwah shining upon your face? Let Yahuwah shine upon you. All right, part of the Aaronic blessing. Now, we also know, we won't go there today, but you remember the book of James, he says, I think it was James, I could be wrong. He'll have to correct me down there. Maybe it was John. But that God is called the Father of lights. Father of those who shine. So when we are, Messiah says, you are to be a light or shine. So when we get this picture in there, we're relating ourselves to something that God already is. God is light. We know he is light. And so when he said, so like God was saying, I'm coming. I'm the light and I'm coming. And so it's like he's saying to himself, not really, but I am the light, and therefore I come. Now in Romans, in the Revelations, he says, but I saw no temple there. Verse 22, toward the very end of it, about the, I can't remember what the chapter was. I blotted it out. But anyway, and for Yahuwah Elohim, Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of sun or moon to shine in it. So that's the object of the sun is to shine, right? You know, we use the word sunshine because we like the don't want the sun to really come, but we just want the shining part to come. In a sense, that's what, when you are a light to somebody, it's what you want to do is not get it in their face, but to be a shine, to shine upon them. So they may see and understand. When you have more lights to see, they can be able to see what's going on in their own personal and private life. It's a psychological thing, not psychological, it's a spiritual thing to look at from that point of view. And he says, for the glory of Elohim illuminated it. And the Lamb is the order of it, or the light of it. So both have a direct relationship to what's called the light. In the beginning, God said, let Or become, and Or came. I want to go down a little farther on this because in this particular chapter, there's a repetition. 12 times, 11 times. Vayomer Elohim. Vayomer Elohim. Vayomer Elohim. All the way down. 11 of those things. He said, he must have something to say. And I said last week, it's like a little child. When you're going through a child and you try to go over this pattern again, you know, nose, nose, eyes, eyes, mouth, mouth, ears, ears. After a little while, all of a sudden the child learns nose. And you say nose, and the child points to nose. Mouth, child points to mouth. They get it because you said something. Right? So the same kind of picture here, we see this pattern that over and over and over again, as I have said before, the whole Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, it's not about man. It's not about people. It's about the words of Elohim, the actions of Elohim, the thoughts of Elohim, the deeds of Elohim, what he makes, what he's going to be doing, how he's going to do it. And he said in Proverbs that, in the beginning, I told you the conclusion of the story. So we're going to be looking at four specific chapters. Many, many, many years ago. Man, even before I met my wife even. The four chapters of Genesis was the key to everything. And they go deeper and study into every one of those four chapters. Start saying, oh, now I know it does tell me where we're going. It does tell me that this is God's plan. It's always, no, wait, were the holy days there? Well, technically, yes, but he doesn't spell them out. But we have to be careful about how we interpret the word of God. We must be very careful. I continue on with this thing. It's kind of cool in Hebrew when we come to take a look at things. In English, we have a hard time with some words. It says there, verse 4, and Elohim saw the light, or saw the order, or saw the shine, that it was good. That's a horrible way of translating that word, by the way. The word, they use the word there, the word that, for the word, for the word key. Key is, in Hebrew, meaning not yes or no. It means because. Oh, he saw the order because it was good. He didn't say that it was good. He saw it. Oh, he saw the shine and saw it was good. But he commanded it, or he brought forth the light, or the light came, the shine came, and he says, ah, this is great. And then he did something, of course. He divided the light from, or he divided the shine from the choshech, or darkness. Now he's dividing this now. He used what to divide the darkness? He used the shine, or he used the light to divide. So here, light is in there, it's going to separate. All right? It's going to separate. And we'll see later on, as we get the word a bit clearer, find out that, you know, it says there in Revelations, in the city of Four Square, there's no night there. It's because it has been completely removed from within that realm. All it is nothing but shine. So where God's throne is, do you think Hoshrek is there? No, there's no darkness there at all. Remember, everything that's been created came from something that was. God didn't create something out of something that wasn't there. He created everything that from something that was. So what was there in the beginning? Just Him. And He was able to do it. Now we haven't got the imagination to figure that one out, do we? We can't even probably even come close to even picturing what is happening. So he says he saw the light, and it says because it was good, or ki tov. The word tov, by the way, move that down right down the bottom. It's been translated as being good, but it's a little deeper than that. It says to be pleasant and be delightful. He saw that the light was, it was good because it's delightful. It's wonderful. It's pleasant. That's basically the simplicity of that word that's in there in Hebrew. So I'm going to run through this bit pretty quick, and then we'll go back down to more detail a little later. This is verse 5. Fa-rika. That's the name, by the way, book of Leviticus. And he called. Now, he's not changing anything. Now he's going to define what he's going to call something. And so he says, and Elohim called the order Yom, or day. And he called the Hoshek, he called Laila, or night. And the eight in the morning were the first day, or first echad. That's the first time the word echad is listed here in Hebrew, in Hebrew text, is right here. Now, the awkwardness in English, and he called the light day, and he called the darkness night. In Hebrew, it's got a lamed there, and it's called the. Called the order day. And he also called the night Laila. He called to the light. He called to Hoshek. He called to the order. He called to the order and said, Yom. He called to Hoshek and said, night. Now, Laila is an interesting word. Yom, by the way, means, basically, the word means hot. Or basically means the warmth of the day. All right? The warm part of a period of evening and morning. During the daytime, it's warmer than it is at night. I mean, everybody knows that one, right? It's pretty logical, except you're in a desert, perhaps. Anyway, I don't know, to tell the truth, what I'm talking about there. And he said now, the first word there, and it calls it, for the word Lyle, to grow dusky or at sunset. Laila is a very interesting word. Let's go down there. It comes from Bokur, by the way, means the dawn, or earlier the dawn. But Laila comes from a word meaning Ai. What have I looked there yet? A root word to grow dusky at night, or to be darkened toward evening. To become dark evening, or to grow dark. The root word really means, okay, to fold back. Yes.
You're reading the line two lines lower than the Lila. Let's say, two lines up. The darkness he called night, Lila. But to mean to fall back.
Oh,
sorry,
okay.
You had the wrong line, so it was like confusing.
Lila. Yeah, I probably had the wrong word. Sorry, that one was right. Correct. He was correcting me on that one. But it means to fold back. What did you think it means to fold back? Actually, it's not uncovering because this has to do with night. He's rolling back something. What's he rolling back? The light. He's rolling back the light. What happens when the light comes, it rolls back or covers up or overwhelms or becomes stronger than the light, right? That's where that word really comes from, to fold back. He's coming back. It returns back. That's not a negative thing with God. Don't get that wrong. Because what happens now, we find, yes.
Isn't it kind of odd that he is speaking to what we would consider an inanimate object? The Lama being there, he's speaking to the day and he's speaking to the night.
Yeah, that's true. That's very typical in Hebrew.
Because it's
an inanimate object, what we think is inanimate, is something that he has formed or created. So now he's not talking. It's something that he has formed. He's done something. So he's talking to it. He talks about the earth. He talks to the earth, bring forth. Okay? He talks to the water, bring forth. So he's talking to things that he has created, and we, because we can't picture that, because we live in a noun world in English, we don't live in a verb world as Hebrew does. Yes?
Well, as one pointed out, inanimate objects, tech themselves, can't do anything, but if God created it, he put something in charge of it. So the spirit's in charge of it, that can do things. So the earth bring forth, the earth can't do anything, but the spirit that he put to the earth to make the earth obey, they will do the job.
Now, we do that ourselves. Okay? How many times have you talked to your car? All right? How many times have you talked to your television? How many times have you talked to the kitchen sink? How many times have you... I'm sorry. But you know what I mean, you know? And people cuss out their car. Now, I've really heard, the car can't hear a single thing, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I think maybe he can speak to an inanimate object because he has power over it.
Yeah.
Also, that they're finding out now that libations, that there are vibrations that they're finding in all things. You know, just creation, there's libations. I think if that's the right word, correct me if I'm wrong. Vibrations, but I heard the word libations a lot, but...
I was going to say everything's mathematical and does have a harmony and a life to it. Harmony.
Okay.
And everything's mathematical, actually. And that's where there's a vibration or resonance. Has life in it, rocks, everything.
We'll be open to discussion pretty quick here. I got a lot to go ahead.
Well, with the word darkness, where did the darkness come from? I mean, was it already in the light that this darkness was there?
No. Second verse, that the earth was in Hoshech.
Okay, so
Hoshech was first, and then light came.
Okay, Hoshech was when there was chaos.
No, it's another word. Darkness does not mean chaos. It's that bohu, I think it was, or tohu. One of those two words means chaos. Tohu, I think, means chaos.
So
out of order. Yes.
Between the first verse and the second verse, we had something happen.
Well, that's true, but we don't know what it is now. I'll give you three theories. The third one I'll say first. It's my theory. I've got the slightest idea what I'm talking about. All right? Okay, so we'll kill that one quickly. And the second theory, and we'll get to the bottom of this chapter. This book is very, very important. One of the very last verses in this chapter tells us another picture, another story, which some people assume to mean something else, but not in Hebrew. There, then the secondary one is that because what took place, or what says it took place in the chapter, in verse 2, that now we have the dinosaurs and all that, and God had to destroy all that kind of stuff before he restored it and brought back. We talk about God covering the earth, his spirit covering the earth, and doing something with his spirit covering his earth. Now, doesn't go into great explanation, except that we know something he did. The water was covering the earth. Remember the very first sentence is, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The next sentence is, and the earth was covered with water. Really? That's interesting. I wonder if he made a mistake, or he was not yet finished, or it's a story of how he does. And that's the second concept of, is that that's the beginning of his creation. He's telling how he started doing it. So there's one theory is that dinosaurs were there before, and all evil things, the big explosion took place, and billions of years later, finally God says, okay, I got straightened out.
Sounds like a God.
It's an evolutionary concept. And believe it or not, there are an awful lot of Christians who believe the evolutionary concept is true. Many years ago, we went to a place, I really was super surprised. Answers of Genesis had, I can't remember who the guy was. He came over, it was a Napa, and he introduced what Answers in Genesis teach, and that dinosaurs were alive during the time of Adam and Eve. And he went through his explanation, and one guy said, he talked to me privately, and he says, man, if he says it's true, it's going to shatter what I believe. And I says, yeah, it will shatter what you believe. That God created the earth out of evolutionary concept. And that's what he believed. Well, we have a man running for president of the United States believe the very same thing. But, you know, it's a fleet. It's a belief system. It's not the answer. Verse 6, and God said, let a firmament, which really doesn't mean any more than the word expansion, okay, in the midst or the middle of or separating, he's going to bisect now in the center the waters or the mayim. And he could divide the waters from the water. So now he's going to separate them. He could divide them from one upper and one lower. And verse 7, he says, and God made. Oh, wait a minute. Why didn't he say he created it? Because it doesn't say he created it. He made it. That's a little different than creating. So he did the water, or he separated it. He brought the firmament, and he made the firmament. How? By separating the waters. That means it was his work. He was doing a job. He didn't say, and God said, it said, God made. It's a very important word in Hebrew. You know the difference between the two, because in the very end of first chapter 2, it's going to say, and God was pleased with all that he had created and made. So they're both in relationship to that. We'll talk about that in more detail when we get there. And he called the firmament heaven, so in the evening and the morning were the second day. Now, we're going to go on to rapidly now, because you understand basically what I'm heading for. Then we'll talk in detail here in a minute. Verse 9 to verse 13. Now, while your mayor said, water to water, water under, water over, together. Anyway, verse 11 I want to consider in. And the earth brings forth grass and herbs that yield seed, and the fruit trees yield fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. What does that mean? Now, you know, the water is separated on the earth, right? What says there? And something came up out of the water. What came up out of the water? that was on the earth. It's a dry land. It's almost like it was now being resurrected. Technically speaking, it wasn't, but it was now he's beginning to raise this land up. Now, on this earth, when we say in the beginning God created the Shema, the earth, heaven and the earth, look what this earth is contained of. How much stuff is in the earth? Everything. Everything around about you. Even the water was on the earth. Correct? It wasn't up there in heaven. It was on the earth. And out of the earth, things came. And the first thing that came was plant life. On the third day. And what's so special about this plant life is a seed-bearing plant. What? It's life. But not as nefesh, but it's life. It's chai. It really is chai. Life was being brought forth. And the earth brought forth the grasses, the herbs, and seed, even according to its kind. Didn't intermingle them. Didn't crossbreed. Didn't change the structure. A lemon tree was a lemon tree, and it remained a lemon tree. He didn't create the lemon tree and the orange tree, and then says, okay, I think you take this seed, put together, and what I got grape juice, yeah. Grape juice is a non-existing fruit, according to Genesis, because it cannot reproduce itself. You plant a grape seed, what are you going to get? You're going to get lemon. But you're going to plant, you can't plant that seed. What comes up if you plant it? A lemon. Well, or whatever. But it's not, it cannot reproduce itself. Right? We know that. That's one of the plants. But that's what we do, not what God did. That's the evening, morning, or the fourth, or the third day. Now we go into the very interesting section. All right. Now, we have heard, it's understood to be heard, that when he made the firmament and he called it heaven, we kind of picture it, the heaven that's around about this globe. That is the air you breathe. Right? Here's a very interesting statement. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens. Divide the day and the night, and let them be for signs, seasons, and for days and years. Okay. So now comes what into existence? I'm sorry, what? Let's continue on reading here just a little while here. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. And Elohim made to, did you hear this word now?
Made.
Didn't say create. He made two great lights. The greater one is to rule the day and the lesser to rule the night. He also made the stars. And he set them in the firmament of the heavens to give them light on the earth. We say, oh, this is the Moedim. We all know that word by heart, right? Now, what is the key reason for all three? I'm sorry, what? Ellie?
It sounds like he was working, to me, with the universe first. And that, as we're looking at now, would be used for signs, like we're watching now, and even at Messiah's birth, there was a large star that told the people where to go. So he has used those for communication to us outside the sun and the moon. Sun and the moon are Seth and Moedim, but that sounds like these other ones had more use.
I'm sorry, pardon me?
I said, it appears that he's starting to create order and time.
Okay.
And God named the star. He named the stars. And the names of the stars tell the story of the Maseroth, which is the original, which is now being restored to us. Which is awesome, I think.
What I want to focus in on is the reason for the lights. Verse 17. Why are all three there for? It says why. Be light unto the earth, and to rule over the day, and to rule over the night, and to divide the light from darkness, and Elohim saw, because it's good. Ketov. Now, when we look at the sun, and the stars, and the moon, and all that, our focus really in a modern world now, we look at the course of Moedim. It has everything to do with the Messiah. I understand that doctrine. I'm not arguing that doctrine. But look at what it says. That stuff was not made for the galaxies. It wasn't made for the purpose of bringing anything around except to bring what to the earth? Light. To bring light to the earth. Now we talk about the very first thing and it says order. Right? Order. What does it say there? He said, order, come, and come, or. Come, shine, and shine came. All right. What is a sign? What is a light for? Now, when we have a light, meaning the daylight and the sun, and it tells us something. It tells us that it's Yom, the warm part of the day. And when the sun goes down and the moon comes up, it's not Yom anymore, is it? It's cold. It's colder. And now the night comes and it folds back something called light. Now in this light, God created two other things. For the night. And what did he create? The moon. Now the moon of and by itself has no light. Right? The only light it has is what is bounced off of the one that rules the day. Right? Now when the light is not on or shining on the moon, what rules the night? The stars. So he has left us a pattern. We're going to be in, not total darkness, we're going to be in darkness. It's just dark out and there's no moon. We look outside, all we see is going to be stars. Except if you live in the city, you'll see. But if you're out there in the middle of nowhere and no light, the first thing you know is you look up. I remember when I was in the military and I had to go to training, a bivouac. They took us out of the middle of nowhere. And I says, okay, everybody lie down. On your back. Yeah, okay, yes, sir. I said, down. What do you see? There was no moon. All you saw was stars. And he said, can you see? Yeah, we can see everything. We can walk around. The stars give so much light, we can still see. Okay? Now they're farther away, aren't they? The stars are farther away. So there is a light There are three lights here now. One set of lights is so far away, most of us don't even pay attention to it. We pay attention to the moon, right? What's the new moon? Pay attention to that, because the new moon is going to have the sun shining on it, and we get to see that. But when there is no moon, what do we see in the distance? A lot of stars. Now, I'll tell you a theory. The sun is supposed to represent the creator of heaven and earth. He's always the light. He's always shining, no matter what. And the moon, no. Doesn't represent. It illuminates. It shines forth from being something bounced off of it, and it shines forth to us. And the theory is, that's the Messiah, who is light, is now bounced, but he's not always there. Is he? Who's there when he's not there? The stars. Now, stars have been likened unto the prophets. Let me ask you a question. Don't answer it. How many years, months, hours, days have you sat there and looked at the prophets and did nothing but read the prophets to understand the prophets, and you understood it clearly? You're saying, that's the way over my head. I see this part. I'm confused about the prophets, because each one's saying something different, or at least appeared to be saying the distance down there. Let's get back and find out what Yahweh said in Genesis and in the first four books of the Bible. First five books of the Bible. And let's go to the New Testament, because that's not, I understand that. I understand. Light. I said light. I can see it. I can understand that one. But when it comes to the prophets, you know, it's really hard. I know it's hard for me. And I'm not saying that I ignore the prophets. I go on there, I try to study them, or break down the sentence. I break down statement, so you see a pattern. And Daniel's learning how patterns are shaped and how they talk about that, how it reflects the Messiah over and over and over again. And as he keeps on going through, like we did Kings, you know, about the names, that was amazing. And he saw amazing things. He thought about, we're talking about the Messiah here. But it's a part of the prophets. The prophet wrote it. And it's so distant, it's hard to see it. So it takes someone who pays attention to the stars. They're way out there. Some are very bright and some are not. Some are very clear and can be seen easily. So when we go through this thing called the Moedim, I understand no phrase. I'm not against it. I don't have nothing against it. I agree with it 100%. But there's something here in this story of these three lights. And it tells us that God is still doing what? He's still showing us what he wants us to see. Even the deep things of God. The deep things of God are way out of human mind, human thought, human thinking, and human spirit. It takes something else for us to see the great mind of God. What does it take for us to see the great mind of God? His spirit. Period is that. Okay, now let's go to the end of the chapter. Let's go. I'm going to miss the next one. I'm going to go down to verse 24. I'm out of time. But it's closely related to all that. This is the one that everybody has a thought about, idea about, a belief about. So I'm not really going to go challenge all those things, because it's really kind of hard to really explain. And Elohim said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth, according to his kind. And it was so. Verse 26. Then Elohim said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So he created man. There's the word created there now. Verse 7 is creation now. And he created man in his own image, and in the image of Elohim he created them, male and female. Of course, we say, well, chapter 2 reverses and makes it null and void. No, no, no. Just understand this chapter is telling you an outline of everything under the sun. Now, we see here, and the word us is a big thing. And people start saying, who is the us? A lot of theories. And I'm not going to go into a lot of theories. It's not worth going in and arguing and bickering and challenging this or challenging that. Some believe it's the Messiah he was talking with, and some believe it's just the angelic world, which a lot of angelic world look like people. Not all of them. Some look like horses, remember?
Oh, yeah.
With wings. Some look like a living, it's living in Ezekiel, a living throne, exactly alive. It's full of lights. I wonder how that came about. Oh, because the Father of lights created it. But now, let me ask you a question. In the Old King James Version, verse 28, I'm going to read it in the Old King James. And Elohim blessed them, and Elohim said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea. Now, that's an unusual phrase, isn't it?
Yeah.
Replenish? You mean it was plenished one time, but now you have to replenish it? Well, it's also said, now be careful now when I'm going. We go back to, you don't have to turn there, but note this down in Numbers, Genesis 9, verse 11. And Elohim blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Oh, yeah, I understand that one, right? Well, those two words, replenish, do not exist in Hebrew. Does not exist in Hebrew. It comes from the word to fill or to be full. So basically, most of your translations, this, by the way, I found out, came from the Jewish Publication Society, these two verses in Genesis 1:28 and 9:11, came from the Jewish Publication Society, which King James just copied. Anyway, he said, be fruitful and multiply. And it sits in your verse 28 in the King James Version, a lot of other versions, says, fill the earth and subdue it. Just means fill the earth and subdue it. Don't refill it, just fill it. So now we have production going. In Hebrew, everywhere you look, that Hebrew word is always to do with fill, or to finish, or to complete. Start a task and complete it. Complete it. Do your job. Do what you're assigned to do. Because it says here, to subdue it and have dominion over the fish and over the birds and over the air and so on and so forth, that creep upon the earth. The reason why you be fruitful and multiply is an awful lot of work you got to do. But it does not mean to replenish. That word does not exist in Hebrew. It means to fill or to be filled or fill up. So that's a word which most of us perhaps assumed it meant God had had a job to do and he needed for mankind to come along and correct it all. No, no, no. He just told them, fill it up. It's like that, the Greek word when he says, he came to fulfill the law. Doesn't mean he filled it up. He's going to fulfill it, is going to bring it to its conclusion, bring it to the point where it's going to be fully enforced or fully put into attack, put into operation. And so when we look at this thing in the verse 28, some of your translations probably have that about the animals too, and it says replenish, but it doesn't really have that in Hebrew. It says fill, just plain fill. And he says, I have given you every herb and seed and so on and so forth all the way down the line. And so, what do you think? Now we're going to go into chapter 2, but not today. Any questions? Any thoughts? To fulfill.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean to replenish.
No, but to fill. What is that? To reproduce? To have children?
No. That fill doesn't mean. It means that the word here is once you multiply, now you must fulfill something I am giving you to do. I want you to fulfill subduing the earth, fulfill subduing of dominion over the fish, fulfill the ruling over the birds, ruling over every creeping thing, and ruling over thing that moves upon the earth. There are two different thoughts here in Hebrew. It's almost like be fruitful and multiply, and it says, now fulfill or do the job I created you for. What did he create mankind for? To do exactly what the rest of the verse 28 says. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm sorry, what?
When he said be fruitful and multiply, that takes care of the having children.
That's right.
The fulfilling or filling, subduing is the other part of the job he gave Adam.
He gave the earth to mankind. Now, I want to ask you a question. The Messiah said something. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. Do you see this in this section? Do you see this in the entire chapter? What was the first thing? Order. What was the last thing? Man. Now he says, the first shall be last, the last shall be first. Now, we think that in numerical numbers. We have this belief that number 7 now has become number 1, and number 1 is going to become somewhere in between. Maybe he's going to become number, way back, or he's going to become number 7. No, it means it's a completion. What was God completing here? What was he doing? What was his last task in the creation field? Creating an image like unto himself. Created everything he created. When he ordered the light to come, he ordered the sun, the moon, the stars, and did all that kind of stuff. He did it for one reason. For man. For us. And we're saying, who are you that you would be mindful of me? That's what David said when he said. I almost can't believe you. Everything you've ever created, and you're thinking of us. Is that the conclusion of the matter? Is that what you were aiming for in the very first place when you first created heaven and earth? Is that what you were looking for? Is that what you started? Or was it more important that you bring the light in than we have creating man? He would have no reason to even create heaven and earth in the first place if he didn't have in mind creating one like unto himself. You understand what I'm saying? It's not being last is last, being first. That's the primary reason. The last became the primary reason. And the first was just the beginning, and it's not the primary reason. Primary reason, seventh day, or seventh, the man, creation of man, was the primary reason. How else did you get us out of chapter 1? Chapter 1 is not created on the primary reason that God is God. For God said, God Elohim, Elohim, Yomer Elohim, Yomer, 11 times he said this. And verse 29, Bayomer said, Bayomer, I have given you the earth. I've given you the plants. I've given you the seed. I've given everything that's on the face of the earth. Everything is yours. All the beasts. Everything is yours. I didn't create them for me. They created them for you. Because God does not need a bunch of birds to be a God. He does not need a bunch of fruit trees so he has something to eat. God doesn't need water for him to have something to drink. But we do. In the flesh. So in the very end of this chapter, it does tell you, in a sense, the concluding purpose of everything I ever created. And we can interpret it, we can translate that, you can change it any form you want, like this word, that thought, this belief, that doctrine, this doctrine, that doctrine, this doctrine. But the concluding matter is, what is the point? The end of the chapter tells you. Then Elohim saw everything he had made, and indeed, Ki Tov. Because it was good. Because it was pleasant. Because it was wonderful. Because it's my pleasure. That's what I wanted to do. And he did. And he says, I will fulfill my pleasure. I will complete my pleasure. My pleasure will be finished. And that's what he finally gets mankind to completely understand and be pleased with their Creator as much as the Creator will be pleased with what he has created. Does that make sense to you? God has to be pleased with you or you won't be there. And you have to be pleased with God or you won't be there. Simple as that. Right? It's the simplicity of the matter. So in the very first chapter, I'm telling you, I can see in the beginning, I told you the end. I am reproducing myself. And you're the one I'm using to recreate myself. And it says recreate. And it says to form what I am. I want you to be like me. And that's where we have this commandment, or not really a commandment. It's not even a prayer. It's a statement. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. You know, that takes a lifetime to do. It really does. And, and Yahshua said, blessed is he who endures unto the end. Doesn't mean end of the tribulation, end of the time. It means the end of your life. Not the end of anything, but the end of your life. I want to pray to God that I can do it. And I beseech him that he give me the strength. I am weak. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. I make a lot of mistakes up here. I make a lot of thoughts. And maybe I got some words wrong. Most times I probably do have words wrong. But a pattern I see. A picture I see. The in-depth of these things is sometimes even hard for me to grasp. It's like them stars so far out there. You want me? They said, by the way, you know, star number so-and-so. Okay. Yeah, which one is it out there? I don't see a number on it. I've got the slightest idea. What's the nearest star? I don't remember his name. You don't know the name of the nearest star? No, I don't. Oh, what an idiot. Yeah. How do I know what Isaiah says? Oh, I got to go in there and I got to dig deep. I've got to see. Wait, it's too dark. Well, there's light there. No, there's light there. And you get to see a little bit here, a little bit there, line upon line, precept upon precept. Oh, that's what I'm supposed to look at. And ask God to give me the insight to see, or understanding to see, what it's talking about. I'm more than likely going to hit. I'm not going to hit the nail on the head very often. Sometimes you hit a nail on the head and it really wasn't. It bent the nail. And my eyesight's getting worse and worse and worse. I get older. It's getting nailed. Don't bother. Don't give me a hammer nail because I'll miss everything. But okay, I'm finished with my discussion today, and I hope it was somewhat something to think about. And, yes.
First will be last, and last will be first. Is that like the statement,
I am
the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end?
Yeah. He's going to complete the end. Aleph Tov. He's going to complete the end. He starts out that way. He's going to complete it at the end. Everything. We use that in English. A to B. A to Z. Yeah. Every language has that statement in there. Remember, God created languages, so it probably came from him in the first place. All right. If there's nothing more to be said. Oh, you have a question?
I'm not sure what verse it is, but in Revelation it says that we'll get a new name. We'll be a stone.
Right.
A living stone. So what you're saying sounds like we're going to be part of that building that he's building, that we're going to be a stone on
it. That's possible. Remember, we're going to be living stones, not just a stone. So, and the throne of God is a living stool. It's, the thing is alive. It lives. It moves. It travels anywhere it wants. Yeah. It's alive. We can't picture anything. It's an inanimate object that's alive, but it's alive. Because it's out of our world. God did not create us and put us into that world. He put us in this world. For show and tell. To show us and it'll tell us something. Remember, God did not name the animals. He brought them, or actually took Adam to them and said, what are you going to call them? So Adam said what he said.